And you're listening on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Alex Keefe with VPR News. To tax or not to tax? Carbon, that is. That's the question for Vermont lawmakers who are trying to find ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The political viability of a tax on gasoline and other fuels is still a big question mark. But right now, let's set politics aside and ask, well, do carbon taxes actually work? To help us figure all this out, I'm joined by Dr. John Erickson. He's a professor at the University of Vermont and a fellow at the Gund Institute for Ecological Economics. Doctor, welcome to VPR.
Thanks for having me.
First off, very briefly, tell us exactly what proposals are on the table with this Vermont carbon tax in Montpelier.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of tax shift proposals on the table. So the idea would be to place a tax on things that we don't like, that we don't want. So in this case, carbon pollution. And move the tax off of things that we do, so other forms of consumption, income, or employment.
So we're talking about taxing fuels, gasoline, jet fuel, butane, stuff like that.
Yeah, we're talking about taxing pollution, taxing energy, taxing things that we want to use less of, and shifting the tax base off of the things that we want more of.
Now, you support carbon taxes. I want to get that at the top here. But what research, what case studies are out there to support your position on this?
If we want to transition away from fossil fuels, which our state does, it's part of our comprehensive energy plan. If we want to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, which our state does, it's part of our greenhouse gas targets, we should tax the things, we should charge more for the things that we want to use less of. And so economists universally have been singing this chorus for decades.
You've talked about British Columbia and some of your testimony and research. Tell us about what happened there and where we stand now several years after they imposed this tax.
Yeah, so British Columbia is a great example for us to look at because it's not at the national level, it's at the provincial level in Canada. And in 2008, they started taxing carbon at $10 a ton. And then they ratcheted it up to $20 a ton. And then in 2012, it got all the way up to $30 a ton, which is the equivalent of about 25 cents a gallon. And as you can imagine, early on, you know, it took some political will to start taxing carbon. But they did it in a tax shift way.
So they lowered taxes in other places as they raised taxes on carbon and fuels.
Exactly. And in their case, it was a purely tax shift strategy. It was a tax revenue neutral strategy by law. They had to reduce taxes elsewhere, the equivalent of where they raised taxes on energy.
I want to talk about Australia because this is the case that a lot of opponents to this carbon tax will point to. They recently repealed their carbon tax after trying it for a few years. They said that it increased people's cost of living, it hurt businesses, it hurt the airline industry. Is the Australian example not a reason not to do a carbon tax as a case study?
Australia was, by my estimate, very politically motivated. It was a case of climate politics writ large. The tax was working. It was reducing the amount of energy that the average person in Australia was using. They didn't, like British Columbia, marry it with a tax shift. So it was a little less popular than the British Columbia example. And since they've repealed it, guess what happened? Energy per person is going back up again.
And we've been talking about relatively large jurisdictions, British Columbia, north of 4 million people. If I am a dedicated penny pincher who lives in the middle of Vermont, I could easily just, you know, drive to New Hampshire and get cheap gas. Is it possible for a tax like this to work in Vermont if the region as a whole doesn't embrace something like a carbon tax?
Look, I love to wave my magic wand and pass a gasoline tax or a carbon tax in Washington, D.C. The federal gas tax has been stuck at 18.4 cents for two decades. Despite all of the economic logic, we can't seem to get the political will in Washington to raise this. So states like Vermont, like Washington, like California, like Massachusetts are now actively considering going it alone.
And I hear that argument, but you're an economist, you're a numbers guy. Can the math work in Vermont if a place like New Hampshire, New York, Massachusetts doesn't also go along with the carbon tax?
Every economic policy, right, has gains and losses. The analysis done by REMI, again, a nonpartisan independent economic group that's been doing economic modeling for decades since I was in graduate school at Cornell, they have done the math and they show that it's a huge net gain to a state like Vermont, even accounting for some of what they would call leakage across state borders.
John Erickson is a professor at the University of Vermont and a fellow at the Gund Institute for Ecological Economics. We've been talking about the ins and outs of a Vermont state tax on carbon. Doctor, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much.